Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
The Sportsman's Nation is a 2% for conservation certified business. And on August 21st, you can join other conservationists all over the world in supporting Community Conservation Day. It's a day for anyone to give their time and or dollars back to their local ecosystems and favorite conservation causes. For more information on how you can participate, visit fishandwildlife.org.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. You are listening to the Michigan Life Outdoors podcast. This is episode number 2. And on today's episode, the boys and I get together to talk about our out-of-state hunts that we have planned for this year. We go over kind of our planning process, how long it's been in the works. We talk about a couple trips that we have coming up this year. And the whole point of the episode is just to get you, the listener, maybe your group of friends, or, you know, write down a sheet of paper of what your aspirations are to go on hunts, whether that's in state, out of state, or just things that you haven't done before, how to get, the planning process going. And you can kind of hear us talk about how we do it. And listen, the points when it comes to out of state hunts can be very, very overwhelming. So, you know, our advice, we'll kind of talk about it in here, but the one is you need to figure out what the species is first that you want to chase after, and then break it down by state. So we talk about our process here, and I think first and foremost, before you get into here, kind of have a species in mind of what you want to chase. So here we go. Okay, we're back for another episode of the podcast. Hopefully you guys all enjoyed episode number 1 and weren't too bored and got to know us a little bit better, but KP sitting here, he's got a big day tomorrow, if you want to talk about that a little
bit. Yeah, very excited, having a baby girl tomorrow. Truly blessed. She's healthy and good weight, and we're excited to next chapter of our lives here. So
yeah, he's already got the dad light half on, so he's
man, we have the room ready. We got it all, man. We got it going on.
Good for you, man.
Congrats.
Okay, so today's episode, we are going to be talking and hopefully informing all you listeners about, you know, how we all go about planning our trips, whether that's out-of-state trips, in-state trips, where the insanity starts, really. and the prep work. We're going to give you a little bit of insight that each of us have on out-of-state, out-west hunts, some that are even more local here in the Midwest where we live, and then it's even obviously some here in the state of Michigan. At the end, we'll kind of sum up as like a reminder for all you Michiganders listening to this of like when your applications or when you need to put in for certain species tags. As we start to roll into mid-spring right now, as we record this, it's what, April 11th?
Yep.
So keep that in mind when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this episode and it's a little into the future, you know, kind of find the mark on the calendar and go accordingly. But yeah, who wants to start us off?
Well, another part I'd like to add, Carson here, is how we do it our self hunts, how we plan for 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, and someday hunt, how we talk about, all right, this is a bigger trip, let's pair it next year with a smaller trip, and how we kind of get points. So someday we want to take that trip, then that opportunity is open for us.
So yeah, why don't you guys start breaking it down? Just for me being curious, how do you guys start to plan a trip? So why don't you guys talk about your trip that you got planned this year, if you don't mind doing that,
yep,
and kind of talk about how that started and why it started.
Going to Colorado, elk hunting in the mountains, archery, and we had to apply for points. So you can't just go to some areas. Some areas are over-the-counter archery. Some are applied areas. And then,
have you guys done over-the-counter before?
We have, but that was gone. Gone in Colorado, and then we've done mule deer out there. Mm-hmm. And this year we're comboing it with mule deer archery, bear archery, and elk archery all at the same time. So that's kind of a nice advantage. You have two tags in your pocket for out there. Looking forward to it, right? We're getting a lot of stuff ready.
Who picked this one?
This one was kind of a group decision. And we went back in 2019. We had a ton of opportunities, so we're going to a similar area. And last year was supposed to be Alaska and fell through due to COVID and some other situations. But back to Colorado for elk primarily is our goal, and kind of a group thing. It's fitting, it's physical, it's the right time in our lives, and we didn't have enough of it. We're just too excited to get back and call the elk and have that interaction. We loved it.
It's kind of a revenge trip.
We did it, and it was amazing. The opportunities there, and we didn't close some deals, and I'm like, we can do better than this. And
yeah,
so we're talking, what do you guys want to do next? I want to go back to Colorado. Like, let's do it. And that was back on the list.
Watching your guys' YouTube videos, I mean, your excitement was like jumping through the screen. Like I could tell by the time you guys were packing out, you were like, I can't wait to go back, because the trip was just one event after the other, exciting shots, exciting encounters, all that kind of stuff. So I guess I can see why you guys want to go back.
It was the most physical trip by far, and everybody was beat up and like no showers and exhausted, and we all hopped in the truck and we were getting ready to leave, and we're all like, all right, Let's plan this again. Let's do this again.
It was therapy.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
We had opportunities, and we should have just tagged out all the way around and just nailed it. And we didn't close the deal a couple times, so I think we're all ready to go back.
So we're looking forward to Colorado, but at the same time, we're paralleling with planning Alaska next year and doing research into that and where we're going, mainly after moose. And at the same time, we're applying for multiple states and points and. So that into the future, when future years come, we'll be able to do other trips. And you have to prep for some of these traveling states or the opportunity won't be open. So some big game animals take multiple points to be able to get a tag for that area.
And I think how we like to do it is create a folder for whatever state. That's how we usually start, right? So we pick the state and the animal that we want to go after. And then it's a matter of starting the research process. And the biggest part of that is, one, how do you draw that tag? Is that over the counter, or do we have to, you know, apply for points, and how many points do we need, right? So what's the success rate? What area in that state do we want to go? How do we get that tag? And then from there, we start planning our gear and our exercise routines. And once we kind of figure out that tagging process, we move on to the next steps.
And sometimes we might pick the species first and don't know where we want to go. Hey, we want to go, I don't know, alligator gar. All right, with our bows. Where do they do that at? I'm not sure. Where are they? Like,
They're in Florida, Mississippi, Texas. Where can you legally do it? Where are there a lot of them? What's the success rate? And so that's how you run into dead ends or continue the search on further and say, oh, we need to go in this river or this lake. And then we narrow it down to a couple hour drives and we call the DNRs or the wildlife biologists in that state. And then we call the YouTuber, I call the bait shop, I call the hotel places. And you get to this information that if you just put in a little effort and time, you can learn a ton and kind of make it happen without busting the bank either. You can pay top dollar for some of these guides, but you can do some just legwork and figure it out.
Where do you guys, okay, so if you were to talk to somebody who wanted to do this, you know, a group of friends kind of like you guys got, or as you're planning it, would you suggest rather than look at state, start with species that you guys all agree on first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm just trying to, like, as a listener, as they're trying to dissect this and figure out, like, you know, how you guys are doing it. Obviously, everyone's got to be on the same page of, like, what species you want to go for. And then, mm-hmm. like, you were talking about how you guys, what other tags are available, what other seasons are open, you go out there if you don't want to just be pigeonholed into one species. But I think that's a good spot to start. So
it's huge.
One is the agree on a species to go after.
Yeah. Species so like, and method of harvest.
Exactly.
Okay. Bow or gun, right? Because that's going to change our season dates. That's going to change tag limits. That's going to change quotas and things like that. So if we have a specific month in mind, say September for archery, and we want to go rifle hunting, well, you're kind of shit out of luck, right? So that's
more often than not, it tends to be bow hunting.
So I think a good example of that is Kel, I know he has on his list, he wants to do timber waterfall ducks, right? There's probably many states that we could go to and do that. So we got to figure out what states are open, what time of year, where the fly zones are going to be, if we can get open public land or is there private land. I mean, so we already know we want the waterfall. We already know we want it to be wooded timber. And that's the only two things we know. But
well, what ducks are going through that time of year too? Are you going to be chasing wood ducks, mallards? I mean, wooded ducks and flooded timber. Well,
and a bigger thing for us is a lot of times that falls when that ice is coming through and it's November. So now we have to choose, do we want to go whitetail hunting in the rut or do we want to go timber duck hunting, right? Yeah. So all these time of year things, they play into our trip plan process of how we want to strategically plan what time of year we want to go.
And we might pick a different state because we can get them in December and then we can still hunt other hunts. Yep. And so that's how this year-round planning system is multi-year out. So this probably be what 3 to 5 years minimum before we do this trip, but we're already starting to talk about it. It's on the radar and we got three other trips already lined up for sure in stone before this happens, but we're just keep putting them in the book and we have a whole list. I got an example right here. My mother-in-law actually cut this out. We went to Florida on vacation, and it says, New Florida invasive species, 10-foot-long river monster. I'm like, well, I'm in. What's this? Like, I don't even know how to pronounce this thing.
When did you get this article?
So I got this about a week ago.
So it's brand new. You don't know anything about this.
I don't know anything about this. I don't even know what this fish is called. You know what this?
It's like a Parmaia or something like that. I've seen fishing shows like the River Monster on the Discovery Channel.
Okay.
The fishing show.
I'm pretty in tune with fishing, but I have never heard of that.
They're in like the Amazon or something, and it's a big game fish, apparently.
So this is how an idea starts. So I see this. I know nothing about it. I'm thinking a 10-foot-long fish that's invasive, which usually means you're allowed to go after. And I'm thinking bow fishing with a bow, that would be an absolute riot. So I might go to a dead end. This very well could not work at all. But I'd like to call the DNR down there in Florida Wildlife and say, are these things popular? Are we allowed to go after them? Can I bow fish these? What's the season? Is it open all year? And that might dead end. You might, there's only one area. You're not allowed to get them. Or they may say, yes, they're invasive species. Like a lot of invasive species.
Like Asian carp.
Asian carp. Right. That was awesome, right? We shot Asian carp with our bows out of the air in Illinois. I mean, that was crazy. Awesome. And we went down to Florida a couple months ago when I shot them iguanas. And iguanas taste not my favorite, but
you ate it.
Yeah,
I can't imagine an iguana tasting very good. Well, that's Carson. Yeah. Yeah. If anyone's confusing our voices right now, that's Carson talking.
So this big fish, I don't know anything about it. But okay. It seems like a cool idea. So let's start doing research.
And that's this might be
a filler in trip or a backup. Maybe you could do it any time of year. Maybe I'll take my family down there and hang on the beach and we sneak away for is it daytime, nighttime, when you harvest them? Mm-hmm. Can I do it at all? I don't know. But these are the questions that start rolling in my mind. Mm-hmm. And it all came off of a picture in a newspaper article. And like, that'd be pretty sweet.
The other cool thing about that is a lot of times when it's invasive species, there's not a bag limit. So you can you can whack them and stack. I mean, really, the state of Florida might be like, yeah, please come down here and shoot as many as you want.
Yeah.
You
know, good chance.
Because they don't want them in here. All right. So that's how those ideas start. So you guys got Colorado this year. So as a listener, as they're starting to plan this, let's say you guys have Colorado in stone this year. What are you planning for, aside from Colorado for the next few years? So like, you know, how do you choose what comes next after Colorado? Like how are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like you said, you have three other trips in stone or whatever. Does someone get to pick or what?
Kind of. It kind of goes off our life events too.
Gotcha.
So Alaska has been in the books for the last probably 2 years. And we all had different stuff going on, you know, and kids and COVID. And it's kind of got pushed back a couple times. So
gotcha.
I think we're doing Colorado this year. Next year, hopefully, is Alaska, as long as everything falls the way it's supposed to fall.
Yeah, yeah. And life events plays, like he said, we probably would be going to Alaska right now, but tomorrow, Calbell's having his first baby. And we're on the leave.
Kind of a big deal.
Alaska's a pretty long hunt. You know, you just went out there.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And you don't go out there for 5 days.
No, it's a 2 week minimum,
I think. It's 2 weeks. So yeah. I'm like, okay, well, let's do a Colorado, which we can make that an 8 or 9 day hunt. And that's a lot more tolerable than an 18 day hunt.
Yeah.
So let's do that. And then that'd be two big trips in a row for us. And we do this all do it yourself.
Yeah.
So we talk about that, right? We call the guides, we find out, we draw a circle on the map. There's good in this 100-mile circle, 200-mile circle, this region. Where can we get tags? And we start narrowing it down. Can we do it ourselves? Can we ship boats there? So we bought the new motor, rafts. We're shipping everything out. It's costing a lot of money. But some of these guides were, you know, $5,000-$10,000 a piece. That's three guys. That's a lot of dough. I can ship a lot of stuff out there for $3,000.
$30,000.
And it's a lot of work. So we're probably going to cut the price down by 80%. Granted, we're going to grind. We do work and do our homework and go through all these hoops, which is some work, but we're going to save not this outrageous number of dollars, which that's fine too if you can afford it. But there's more than one way to go about this.
The other thing too is anybody listening to this is if you want to start getting into like Alaska hunts or Western hunts, start like little getaways in your own state or local states and start working out the kinks. Like, you know, like I remember I went to Ohio and like we started just, you know, camping out of a truck or whatever it was, like going down there, not knowing anything. Then you start to, you know, you're away from home. You're not from your house anymore. What gear do you need? And it just builds over year and over time. And so by the time you get to plan or maybe even get your points drawn or saved up that you want to go out west or if you want to go to Alaska, you got a lot of that gear and you're not buying it all in 1 year because, and then the other good thing too about that is you're testing out to see what works and what doesn't work.
That's huge.
Yeah.
How about when we tried out the bivvies, right? Oh, we're going to go light in our backpack. We stayed in bivvies and no precipitation.
Some people might not even know what bivvies is.
Yeah.
Basically a waterproof sleeping bag cover, if you will. Just a
one-man tent.
Yeah, basically. Really small, really lightweight. And we had a really bad experience. We had a terrible condensation. It's moisture barrier, and we just created all kinds of water in our sleep.
The biggest part about all that was the temperature. We were shooting for the 30 degree below freezing, sleeping in a bivy on our own, and just staying warm with your body heat inside of there with the outside temperature. It just created a massive amount of condensation. Like everything was wet.
Okay. But bringing back to your point, trying those on a local here one day trip, it was no big deal because it was the next day we went home or back to the place. Right. We regrouped and we're like, thank God we didn't take that on our 10-day trip.
Yeah.
When, you know, and be like, what do we do now? So testing that gear out is huge at the local level, like you're saying.
It's funny. We're all crazy. When I got my sleeping bag before we went to Colorado, I slept on my back deck on our new cot that I bought for our tent. I think we all did it. I think Kel did it too. Like, I just wanted to make sure it worked before we went, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
I wanted to answer your question a little bit, Lee, there. You said about what we had planned out for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So we have Colorado this year. We talked about, obviously, we have Alaska next year. The 3 years after that, most likely that third year will be an easier trip. And Carson was getting there. We do, usually we try to do a really hard, intense trip, you know, and then we try to back it off with a softer, easier trip. And whether that's, you know, waterfowl or something that's only 3-4 days, or, you know, Asian carp or something fun, keep it light and entertaining.
Or even include other people.
Yeah,
usually exactly. We do a big trip together, guys. And the next one's kind of
So last time we went to, we went to Alaska, Kel and I. It was brutal, awesome, amazing. The next year, we went to Fletcher's Pond in Michigan.
Yeah.
We got this hotel. It was $100 a guy for 4 days. That was everything.
Well, we had 40 guys, 42 guys.
40-some guys at there. And we're just, the whole point of that trip was camaraderie. The year before, went two people alone and not a person for 100 miles in Alaska. The next year, it's no cost whatsoever, hanging out with 40 guys, just having a riot. The camaraderie was the whole point. Like, half of them didn't even fish half the time. You know, it was just to hang out and do it and be in the outdoors together. And then we'll continue on. So tell them about the points. We got years lined up that we don't know what the order.
Yeah, so one of Tom's biggest one is mule deer out west with the rifle, a rut, mule deer. That's on top of his list. One of the ones that I'd really love to do is the waterfowl and the flooded timber. Mm-hmm. I've always seen videos of that as a kid. Dude. I've never done it, and that excites me. And we've talked about dove hunting in Argentina.
Yeah.
And now Carson's showing up with a newspaper article here of some invasive fish species that's probably going to get added to the list. I know Tom and I got a vengeance with some Texas alligator gar down there with our bow fishing stuff. Gotcha. So a lot more, but we don't really have years 3, 4, and 5, you know, specifically planned out yet, but more so the bigger ones.
I'm struggling. There's 5 in the list that are already starting to get set. Yeah. We just don't know which one we're going to pull the trigger. Now we're 2 years out, but we may apply points for some of these areas. We've talked about it and we budgeted and, one that I would like to do too is my boys are starting to get a little older, right? They're 4 and 7 right now. Another year or two, I'd like to go on a trip that they can come. I want to start, you know, getting them. Now, that's not the float drag Alaska trip or on top of the mountains. Sure. They're not ready for that. But this might be a flying and fishing trip for a week. Or I may combo that year. I might go and try to get a couple guys with other kids and we go a week fishing, maybe in August or something, or whatever, the summer. And then later on in that winter, we do the guys trip with something else.
Gotcha.
How about you, Lee? You got trips planned?
One is elk for Montana. So that is, so we just put in for that in March and we're waiting the draw results, all that kind of stuff right now. But right now that'll be the big one. That'll be Montana elk during firearm season in November.
Do you got points already? Or
we got points saved up. So I can get into that a little bit and tell you guys kind of like where our brain was at and kind of like what we did. But this is something I want to get in with you guys too. But in Montana, anybody listening to this, like we wanted to do elk. We knew for sure we wanted to do elk. And then the next thing we did was, you know, my buddy Brian Langton has got a buddy out in Montana. So anybody listening, if you got people spread out west and stuff like that, think about, you know, if you have a distant cousin or if you got your cousin's boyfriend or girlfriend that lives out there, like start to pick their brain and like see where people are at in other states. Obviously, one, you can go visit them, but two, they might have insight on what's going on in that state, good times to go out there. They can maybe do a little bit of pre-scouting for you, all that kind of stuff. Anyways, his buddy lives out there in a certain area that he encouraged us to maybe think about Montana for elk. Brian and Joel wanted to start doing stuff together, kind of like what you guys are doing as brothers, and go on a trip and start making memories. And
that's awesome.
I wanted to go along. I said, hey, I'll come along with you. And so we started with Montana. So last September, in September in Montana, as an out-of-state resident, you can start to apply for points. I think it's like $50, and then that'll get you 1 point. And then you wait for the following year, another September, to buy another point. That'll be 2 points. So that's $100 in, you get 2 points. And then when you apply in March, you can either apply as a party like we did, or you can apply as an individual if you're doing an individual hunt, or if you want to break up and do your own thing.
So explain to them what a party is and why you want to do that.
So the good thing about a party is, like, when you go in with a party, is it's either you all draw or you don't draw, and you're all in together, and you can use each other's points to kind of apply together, so that way it's, I don't want to say, I guess it's a little bit of an advantage. especially you can bring somebody in who might be a season behind in applying, and your average and or your applying point will be at a
lower.
Exactly.
So it takes the weakest person.
Correct.
If I have 1 point and you guys all have three and we're applying as a group, then we all basically on that 1 point level because it takes it to the lowest person.
It takes, yeah, exactly.
But then with the group, it's sweet. So either, hey guys, we're going to do this trip because I want to do it with you guys, right?
Right.
The group. And we all get it. And that's sweet. We're all going, or we all don't get it. That way, one guy didn't get it. You're not going to go by yourself
right.
and miss it. So that group thing's pretty nice. And a lot of states have that.
And the group thing's important because, I mean, unless you're really, really into this, or you've been doing it for a long time, Montana is a big state and there's a lot of variables out there that if you go out by yourself, I mean, you got to be pretty on the point to know what you're doing. So if you go with a group of guys, you got guys, obviously one looking out for you for, you know, brown bears, you got help guys to help pack out meat. You know, it's just like that buddy system. As you go out into the wilderness, it's a smart idea to kind of go out as a group, especially in a different state or territory you may not know of. But anyways, when we applied as a group, it's either you're all in or you're not. So let's say you don't get drawn, you still get to retain those points of from what I hear from the Montana fishing game to go into the following year. And then that year, when you go into that following year that you don't get drawn, it's almost a guarantee that you guys are going to get drawn. From what I have, the officer or the biologist that I was talking to on the phone, she had mentioned to me that like last year in the state of Montana, if you had 2 points, everybody drew from an out-of-state resident.
You're good.
You're good to go. Yeah. Last year was 100% draw. Everyone who had 2 points got a permit. And so that's really not that much when you think about it. It's 2 years of applying, if that, like a year and a half, and then you're good to go.
And so if you want to do these trips every year, you have to kind of preset yourself up.
Right.
So we're going to Colorado this year, last year, but at the same time, went to mule deer hunting in Colorado last time, we saw the pronghorns. Mm-hmm. We're like, this would be sweet. Let's go archery pronghorn hunting out here.
Yeah.
We looked it up. We need 7 points. And I'm like, okay, well, we can do a bunch of other trips in there, but let's start getting those points. So when that day comes, we can make that happen. And then we're doing that for a bunch of states. We don't know exactly when we're going to go there, but now the doors are opening. We kind of have a chart and we mark in our calendars that, all right, it's time to apply for this stuff. I think, Kel, you know a lot about that, is the dates and stuff.
Yep. So I have some dates wrote down, just thought we'd mention here. Might as well start with Michigan, since this is Michigan Life Outdoors. We have bear and elk applications are May 1st through June 1st, as well as deer antlerless, which of course will be doe antlerless, July 15th. So those are some dates to put on your calendar for Michigan. Hopefully everyone's out there turkey hunting and having success in that category. A couple of other big ones coming up. Iowa deer, non-resident deer application period is May 1st through June 6th. And Kansas is April 1st. So Kansas is right now. If you're looking to go to Kansas, whether you're getting a preference point or applying for the actual tag, both of them categories fall underneath.
What was the date on Kansas again?
Pardon me?
What was the date on Kansas again?
Kansas is April 1st through the 30th, 2021. So right now. Colorado is over at this point for elk application. Montana is passed. Wyoming is passed. But there are still some states that are open that you guys should be thinking about planning.
And I bet, you know, and there's tons and tons more out there, right? There's just some that are on our list. Mm-hmm. I bet some people don't know what a preference point is.
Yeah, explain it. If anyone wants to do that, go ahead.
I'll explain it. Basically, you're buying an opportunity or increasing your odds at drawing that tag or guaranteeing that tag. Some states, you get a certain amount of preference points that guarantee you a license once you get to that number. Other ones is a lottery system, so you just increase your odds with every purchase of a preference point.
So you're not actually getting the tag.
You're not applying. Well, some states you don't have to, but some states you're not actually applying. You're just buying an opportunity. You're increasing your odds, and then 5 years from now, when you're ready to go for that hunt, you use all your points that you purchased the last 5 years, and you just increase your odds, you know.
And 1 point per year is obviously all you can purchase.
Exactly. And then it's like there's a difference between like what these guys are talking about, like what we all did or we have been doing the last couple of years is with preference point. Then there's something called over-the-counter. Now, depending on what species you want to go after, there's something called the over-the-counter tag. So I know Colorado has over-the-counter elk in certain units. So it's basically like, you know, you have a
area county.
Yeah, an area playground to play in. You can't go outside that bubble, whatever it is, but because that's an over-the-counter unit. But what these guys have been doing is they've been saving up points for Colorado, even though it's closed, like KP just said. But it was for a unit that they have been eyeing. But maybe it's got a higher elk herd. Maybe it's whatever, you know, what weapon they're going to be using, all that kind of stuff. But then, like, if you think about, like, white-tailed deer, like, I know for, you know, for sure, like, Ohio, you can go down to Ohio. You don't have to plan for that hunt.
You just buy it.
You just buy it. That's an over-the-counter tag. So if you're like, hey, I want to try a new adventure, that's what I was talking about earlier is, like, think of an adventure if you want to start slow that's around you that might touch your state or might be driving distance, and you can grab an over-the-counter tag and still go have a great adventure in another state.
That's a really good point. It doesn't matter what state you're in or where you're at, you're not at home. So you get your gear down and what you need when you're not at home, and you can't run back to the house or whatever, run back to your truck.
And I think some people don't know where to start, or they're pretty nervous on, all right, I want to go, I don't know, say Ohio for whitetail. Well, where do I go? I don't know. Well, if you don't start any kind of research, it's just shooting in the dark. You don't know.
Right.
But if you call the hotel people and you say, "Are you guys book any hunters? If I book in November in the rut?" Oh yeah, the guys are all full here. Guys, this is probably a good spot. The hotels are all booked up. Uh-huh. If you call there and they say, "No, not too many people come around here for hunting," hey, we don't want to go there. That's not the spot.
You just have to think outside the box.
DNR, you watch the YouTube videos, you do research, you go online, you just put the effort and time in. Like, I'll call the local sportsman archery shop. Hey, guys, they call in Michigan, I'll tell you right now. Hillsdale, Jackson, some of these areas, these are counties, are awesome for whitetail, right? And so, all right, we got to narrow down to that county, then maybe that piece, and then how much state land's open. And if you just try, you know, use your own ideas. There's thousands of ways to do it, but you just start making them phone calls and effort, and you learn a lot.
And another thing is the Boone and Crockett record books and things like that of, you know, success rates, states that, you know, do have a call-in system. They know, you know, roughly how many deer are harvested, what counties those are harvested, and a lot of times that's public information. So if I know that there's 10,000 deer shot in this county and there's 500 shot over here, I should probably go focus on the good county over here.
That changes, though, too, because sometimes we're like, oh, we want to get away from people. Like, oh, there's 10,000 deer shot in this county. We should go, you know, this county or...
Right.
I think you got to think way outside the box. We use YouTube a lot. I mean,
and all that's great. And no matter what they do, is that's up to them. But they're scared to get started. And if you just don't make that phone call, that effort, that try, then you're never actually going to get there.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you try that, like this fish thing, I have no clue if this is going to work. It seems cool if I've seen a 10-foot fish. It seems like awesome. I may call and be like, guys, there's only like three of them that ever been spotted in Florida. Or, nope, you're not allowed to go after them. It may be a dead end. But if I spend an hour in the DNR, the Florida Wildlife is like, hey, yeah, come get them. They're everywhere. I'll tell you, the river, we're getting all complaints on it. Guys, I just got a home run. And like, and then you can just continue on, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what they get paid to do. I mean, that's the thing is, like, when you call, keep them on the phone and make sure that they answer all your questions. Don't feel like you're a burden to them. If you think about it, at the end of the day, it's your tax dollars at spend.
Absolutely.
It's make sure that you get, you know, have your questions listed out ahead of time, and then, you know, really be precise, because again, there's this big black map up there and you're just slowly getting onto that bullseye. And the closer you can get to that bullseye with the information you get, you're just going to be more successful.
A lot of them are great. And I know we've called and asked some pretty off the wall questions or help or that kind of stuff. And you just say, type in Michigan DNR, right? And there's one for every county, or there's a whole list of 10 of them.
Right.
And I'll call one and say, hey, I got this question, blah, blah, blah. You know, it didn't really give me a clear answer. Or maybe it wasn't them. I'm calling the next one. I don't really care where they're from. I call the next one. Man, this person's awesome. And so on, right? There's a whole bunch of lists. Just make a couple phone calls and you'll learn a ton.
Then you can see how consistent they are on their answers too.
That's it.
I've had a lot of really good experiences in other states. We hunt other states. Their DNR, their wildlife agencies are phenomenal. Like, they've been so helpful.
Super nice.
They're like, thanks for coming, for being a non-resident. Thanks for spending your money in our state. Like, they're over the top nice.
And to make sure you do everything right, right? Because there's a lot of rules. Now you're traveling state. That's a whole different set of rule books. So
we track them down sometimes. We ask them before we even go.
On purpose, go right up to them. Hey, we got this boat. Before we go out, we just want to make sure we're doing everything right. And we're legal and we're safe. And, oh, yeah, make sure you get another battery cover for this. Oh, okay, we didn't know that. That didn't happen to happen here or this other place. Or your fire extinguisher or on and on and on, right? And so you just go talk to them and they're like, sweet, we're covered, we're good to go. So that's part of this planning process. It's what do you want to go after? How are you going to make it happen? What's the legalities of being legal? And then what gear do we need to do it? And then can we physically make that happen? And then on a budget, a lot of our trips, we do this Colorado out trip, doing it ourselves, driving out there. Again, we got our tag and we bought the gear and stuff, but we might spend $500 on that trip a piece. Plus our tag and that kind of stuff. But most of that's just gas and food, and like it doesn't really cost us that much.
And this is where that folder comes into play. You have to like write each subject down. Yeah. So the tagging process, the wares, we're jotting notes, or I called this hotel or this person, and then it goes on to our camping gear. Okay, I got this tent, you got this, blah, blah, break all that down, and then you go into meat care. Where are we going to stay? Yeah. How are we going to bring in freezers? Are we taking her to a butcher shop? How are we going to take care of this? And packs, and we literally have whole folders on all these states, so next time we go there, we can pull that information out and kind of go through that.
And then you learn stuff from that, and then you just feed it to the next one. So like for Colorado, we're having his enclosed trailer, his truck. I got a couple other tents that we've got. So we're teaming up together on this gear. And then we bought some junk, they're still using them actually, junk freezers. From
hey, don't be dogging out my freezer. That thing works great. It's got cold beer in there right now.
The Craigslist and or you know marketplace, whatever. We get these freezers. We put them in, take them out there. So when we harvest the animal, we can actually freeze them and take them back. Now where are we going to do this? We knock on doors sometimes. We call out to places. We've got a hotel room. I just want to plug it in. How much to plug my trailer in there for a week?
Like, I got you.
And it goes back to what you said. The first time you make it happen to go out of state, it just gets easier every single time. Like. Doesn't matter if you want to Colorado or Montana. It's the same trip.
It's like a formula. You got to.
Yeah. And even in state, too. You know, we talk a lot about out of state because they're bigger trips, right? But even when we're going to our Hillsdale property and things, hey, you're pulling your camper and I'm going to bring this generator. It's the same concept. You're just kind of expanding on that a little bit.
And when we go with Tom, he makes us bring like 10 spare tires on every trip.
Dude, I noticed that on the Colorado trip. You guys didn't get very far. Like one of the first part of the videos, you're already changing a flag.
Oh, you should watch the Florida alligator
you
trip.
You should see that. Tell him about that. That was pretty crazy.
We had, I think it was KP's boat and his trailer, and the trailer had a little bend in the axle. And I think we made it to like Tennessee, or no, we made it to Southern Ohio before we popped a tire. So we're like, flat tire, no big deal. Changed the tire, back on the road, made it an hour. Popped another tire and we brought like three spares and made an hour, popped another tire. And I'm like, oh boy, something's wrong. And
the same tire.
Same
spot.
Carson being Carson, you know, Mr. Positivity. And he's just like, oh, well, according to my calculations, we need 13 more spare tires to make it to Florida.
I'm doing the miles, like every this many miles.
$80 per tire.
So that's the math that we're doing when we're driving.
Yeah. And, I'm like, we need to fix the problem.
So we pull into the
Tractor Supply.
We borrowed their jacks. We jacked it up. We cut all the bolts off, put a whole new axle on, and then we made all the rest of there and all the way back. So Tom's always like, how many tires you got? We'll be all right, Tom. Bring an extra one.
It's good to think about that with guys you go in the wilderness with, like what their skills are. Like, oh, man, that guy can fix anything. Or, oh, that dude's good at whatever, cooking or what, I don't know, whatever it is. We always make fun of people like that. You know, they got their specialized job when they're in the wild.
In mindset, too. A lot of these trips are a struggle. They are, if you want to push to that. And so it might be a guy maybe you just met. You might not want to go on that struggle with him. He might have to make sure you're
Chemistry.
Yeah, your chemistry goes well. For sure. You coordinate well and you work together. And
even if it's not a physical trip or that struggle, sometimes it's just a struggle. Like me and Kello have, you know, been on these 14-day, you know, our whitetail adventures where we just bounce from state to state. Like, you start to get burned out, dude. Like,
sleep.
You don't want to get up in the morning and it's like, you know, we got to get up, whatever. Like, that's a struggle, too. It ain't got to be physical. It's a mental grind, being away from home.
But it's funny that the harder they are, at least for me,
the more you want
to do it. We talk about this a lot. As soon as it's over, the more I liked it.
Absolutely.
Just enjoy it. And I'm like, that I accomplished something. That was like, I earned that. That was awesome.
You got to remember to stop and just be in the moment for a minute. like, oh, this sucks, but this is worth it. This is what I wanted to do.
Well, think about the planning you guys have done. You don't want to get out to the trip and then sit there and, you know what I mean, like, take advantage of taking a breath. Like, we've been planning this for 3 years. We've been planning this for 4 years. We're going to go. I'm not going to sleep in today. I'm not going to give up because, you know, I've got blisters on my feet.
Yeah.
Research how to take care of that stuff. Get in a mindset where all this stuff is just temporary, but you've worked your asses off for 3 years. You know, make it worth your while.
And I think that's where our videos and photographs come in too. You know, we get to looking at those, we get to relive all those feelings, that emotion, that trip, that camaraderie forever. We're really big. We're like, should we take a picture? And we all just kind of like look at each other like, yeah, you know, we should, you know, because we're sitting in a barn here with pictures all over the wall and all these memories, and that's all you have forever. So we really cherish those a lot.
Yeah.
And that process, I enjoy it. I like, and I think we all do, but this is a tough trip. This is something that we need. How can we make this happen? How can we go there and keep it on somewhat of a budget? And that process, like, I enjoy it. It's kind of like a challenge to me. Like, what state we're going, where we're going to do it, how are we going to get freezes in, how are we going to get a trailer, what are we going to do about power, what are we going to do about water, like, where are we going to go, how are we going to get tags, and blah, 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 all of it. Then you do the hunt. Then after the hunt, you have the pictures, then you have the stories, and then you have the video. So it's a whole process. It's like the pre-hunt, the getting stuff that you need, logistics, and then hunting it, and then celebrating it, and then making it a memory, and then starting the next one. It's a whole process.
I should tell them about the goose hunt last year. We tried to make an easy trip, and we thought it would be enjoyable, and going out of state to go on a goose hunt and a salmon fishing trip, make it a quick guys weekend. Oh, we'll just hire some guides and we'll have fun. We'll get a couple cool pictures. And not say we didn't enjoy it, but holy crap. We were out scouting for geese the night before on a guided goose hunt. Like,
and we don't normally do the guided stuff. Right. So we got to expand on that a little bit. The reason that we did that is because Alaska fell through.
We
still wanted to have a picture on the wall, right? That's what we're all about. We're about that one trip every year for us and the memory. So we're like, okay, well, let's do something easy. We're like, why don't we just go a couple hours away? We'll do our first ever guided trip. And we went for salmon fishing, and we went for goose hunting, which we all have been goose hunting, harvested geese. But we, again, simplicity, and we were not fans. We were helping ourselves. Decoys, like, oh, no, you're not doing this right. Hold on. Then we're scouting.
And
for,
the guys,
we're the scouting. Guy was great, but he's doing this. I'm like, man, we're off the wall thinkers. Like, I want to go hide under this tree and ditch this blind, do this. And the guy, you know, like, everything's straight and narrow.
This is what works.
And it was working, but like, we've already done that. Let's go do this. Let's go, you know, over here. And so we learned that that wasn't our style.
Yeah, we probably won't be on too many guided trips.
But the fishing was great. That was cool. The boat and
the whole trip was really cool to spend time with everybody, you know, all their buddies and everything. But as far as a hunting trip, we were just like, yeah, no more guys. We'll just do it ourselves. We should have just loaded our own trailer.
Well, it gets down to knowing, like, what, you know, the group of guys you guys hunt with. Now you know, like, hey, we're not the guys that like guides anymore. You know what I mean? So self-awareness is it.
And again, it's nothing like against them. It's just the struggle. That's our victory. Like, all of our victories in that struggle, the finding them, the knocking on our 10th door before we get a yes. And like, that already hypes us up more than the actual hunt itself.
On that trip, we ended up kind of comboing it. It was a dove season. We already had license for that. And it was cool. Illinois out there. And that was Illinois, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we end up knocking a couple doors and finding a blind. We end up making it happen and doing a little extra dove hunt. We only got a couple. We weren't that successful. We're like, we did this. We got a spot. We're sitting on a dirt hill. We found it. Now we're hanging out. And like, them two doves, I felt like more proud of them two doves than I did the 20 geese we worked way harder that morning.
Good little appetizers.
We had like 4 hours in the middle of the day. And we're like, what are we going to do? Because we're not going to go back and just hang out. You know, it just couldn't stop.
For the listeners out there, I want to talk a little bit more about your guys' Colorado trip this year. So when did that start for planning if you want something out, you know, not over the counter? So do you know the details, or can you explain the details a little bit of like, hey, you don't have to say the unit, but obviously if you don't want to do over the counter, what is a good timeline for folks to think about to do Colorado elk? Because Colorado elk archery, I'm assuming you guys are doing archery. That's a hot thing right now. And, you know, a lot of people are already to get discouraged because it's like everybody's going to Colorado for elk. Everybody's doing archery for elk. I mean, there's a reason the elk herd out there is great, but why should, or how should people start to think about planning something if they don't want to do over the counter?
I think you can do over the counter just fine. I think you can apply for areas, some 2 points, 3 points, 5 points, 10 points. Every area is different. So depends what you're looking for. But I think what's more important is to make the phone calls, try, change. How much do we change every plan? Like almost all of our trips, we don't get them at first, day two, day three. Now we're starting to figure this out, right? So keep an open mind that I'm going after this and this isn't working. Well, let's not just keep doing the same thing. Let's change it. And then
he's talking about before you go, yeah. You're talking about when you're there. So to answer your question, Lee, I think 2 to 3 years out is a realistic goal. And again, I don't have the stats in front of me of what every, you know, area in Colorado takes.
So 1 point a year.
Yep.
To apply to get your preference point.
Yep.
And then does Colorado say, like, you know, hey, it's 2 points, it's 3 points, it's 4 points, and you're almost guaranteed to go or draw?
Yeah, it's a percentage. And I think the percentage for the area that, so this trip was kind of backwards. We found the area that we wanted to go to.
Okay.
And we were like, this has a great population of elk. This is super hard to get to. Like, this is going to be the area that we want. So we 100% would have did over the counter, but we kind of picked the area first, which is kind of weird. And we were like, this is where we're going to be successful at.
But they have draw statistics. So they're called draw statistics. You can Google them, Colorado draw statistics, and they'll tell you each area, how many points each person had and how they were successful or not. So there's your answer. You find, you know, general rule, even if you don't know your area yet, get on there. And if the whole state of Colorado had 3 points or less and they were 100% successful, well, there's your answer. You need 3 points. Yeah. In some areas, you may only need one or none, you know.
And right.
That's how the pronghorn came up. So we did a mule deer hunt. We found pronghorn. We're like, we can do this here. Okay, what does it take to get a license in this area? Then we looked, and then that's how we're doing it. Okay. There's other places that we could probably get them right over the counter, I'm sure. I don't know the areas. They might be great, too. I'm not sure, but that one trip led to the next trip, and it's going to keep going. And so the whole time we're driving out there, we're halfway through a bunch of different states, and we're like, wow, look at all the ducks, geese in this state. Look at all the deer at this state. And hell, what state are we in? What area is this? And then we just start brainstorming crazy ideas, and most of them get thrown off the list, but then that's how you kind of one leads you to the next, to the next.
Here's another question I got. How did you guys figure out, again, don't tell the unit, but how did you go from being out of state to saying, like, this is the unit that we want to focus on? Did you go back to the statistics of harvest? Did you go back to statistic of the elk herd there in that area? Or did you guys go to Colorado and scout?
So all the above, this actually came from 2007. That was our first time out west in Colorado. And we were rifle hunting, and I had plot maps, and I had some information, some intel from people that was like, this is the area. But we're going out there blind. We don't, never been there, we've never stepped foot. So this is kind of where this all started. And when we got there, we started doing what everyone else did. We see all these campers. We see all these people. We're doing very similar things. And then we're driving. We end up finding just a ton of elk in this specific area using Onyx maps, or back then it was the Plotbook maps that we used to try to map it up, and it was really difficult. And we found an area of state land. We're like, this is great. This is so hard, so secluded to get to. And but we physically found the elk first driving on the roads, and then we hiked in there, and Carson and I both shot elk with rifles. And then we fast forward to 2019, we go back to the same area, but same thing. You know, it's been 12 years since we've been there, so we don't know if they're still
there's
in that
burns,
area or not.
Wildfires, there's a lot of stuff.
But we learned that we cover so much ground by driving. We start seeing herds of elk, and that gives you such confidence of hiking in somewhere. We're like, I know there's 150 elk down here. All we got to do is get to public where we can hunt them or figure out a way to get to access them. So,
and so a lot of our trips are like that, right? I mean, all of them. We go alligator gar in Texas. First day, we're just driving the boat around. Well, I don't know where these dang things are at. Like, you try to ask people, it's hard. And then you start to figure it out. And then, oh, maybe they're in this canal, rivers, and they're in the big water. Yeah. And then you learn a little bit. And day one and two, we're like, we're not doing too good. Like, this is hard. And then you start to learn. Now day three and four, you're like, all right, we got this. We figured out. Go back to the same spot. another year, and we're like, we know right where they're at. Go there, they're nothing. It changed, right? You know, fishing and deer like that too. So that elk hunt that he's talking about, we had a pretty big area. I don't know, maybe it was 100 miles square that we were allowed to hunt. Like, it was a pretty big area. We were supposed to be here. It just, the weather didn't change. It didn't push them down that particular year. And they're like, normally we're killing them here, but they're at a different spot. So we just start driving, moving, changing. We find the general area, then we kind of start honing in.
Listening to this now, let's say obviously Colorado's closed, so you can't buy your preference point or you can't apply or whatever it is. Doesn't mean you have to sit on the sideline this year. I mean, set aside 3 or 4 days, whether you're flying or driving, go out to Colorado and start looking to see where these units are at and just scout for elk, because you're going to be setting yourself up for success in the future. And if you just fly out there, you drive out there and come right back, now you have like a scouting report to go off of, and it probably costs you $200-$300 just to go out there for a few days and come right back.
And you can probably actually take one step further. Maybe you can't get elk, but you might be able to get a mule deer tag in that one,
right,
or a small game tag in that
one. Yeah, that's a good point.
Or I could get a bear tag for $100. So if we're going out there, I'm not going to go out there and just drive around personally. I'm going to say, hey, remember them giant rabbits?
Jackrabbits.
Jackrabbits. These things are huge. Awesome.
Those would be cool to get.
Yeah, that'd be like super cool. So we're mule deer hunting, and they're like, we're popping them up everywhere. I'm like, we need to come back here rabbit hunting. And so I'd go out there, we'd make it a rabbit hunting trip, but at the same time, we're learning the lay of the land, and we're making it a combo, and that's kind of prepping for whatever we're going after next, right? Because there's a lot of stuff, maybe elk still closed, but there's other areas that are over the counter. There's bear. There's other stuff you can do.
All right, I think we gave everybody a good starting point of where to start to think about. One, find the species that you want to do. Two, maybe even before two or before one, get your group of buddies that you know you want to go out there with, you trust. Everyone's got the same mindset, which is super important. Know that it's going to suck. Know there's going to be a lot of work and money involved and time and all that kind of stuff. And then once you find your species, it sounds like you got to start doing the research. And there's really no excuse to not be doing that right now. Even if you're like, you're waiting for the points to open back up again when you can apply, you guys got to start figuring it out right now and figuring out, you know, you got to buy Onyx Max. You got to buy that United States membership. You can't just buy Michigan anymore. You can't just buy Ohio or whatever you're at. Get the whole thing, because your research starts now.
Make the phone calls.
Yeah. So that's my parting thoughts. If KP, daddy to be, anything parting thoughts?
Be overwhelmingly stubborn. I mean, if you refuse to fail and you put in the work and you are just grinding in any aspect of your life, it's going to take you far, and you're going to be able to figure out things that you wouldn't, you know, it'll be awesome to what you can accomplish. It really will.
Think outside the box. Make the phone calls. This is what I want to do. How can I do that? I want to be at this area or this species, or we need this and this and this. Okay, how can I make that happen? And just keep calling and talking to people, because people are awesome and they'll help you and they'll steer in the right direction. And call the fire department. I don't know, and say, hey, who's the guy who's the hunter out here? Oh, that's Joe in the corner. And like, he'll tell you stuff. Or call the bakery and like, I don't know, just, I'm just making stuff up. Call the hotel people, because they'll help you. Just put the effort in there, and then you'll learn a lot.
Become a detective. We watch YouTube videos, and man, there are people video driving on the road, and you see street signs and gas stations, and like, oh, the closest gas station is 20 minutes away and we're here. And we've called the gas station that they talked about in the video before. You look at the boat ramp numbers. You look at the river that they're on. You look at anything.
A little reverse engineering.
Just think outside the box, man. And like Carson said, if you got to call the manager at the mobile that's next to the boat launch and ask her, you know, how many boats get put in there? Is everybody bringing out, you know, this fish? And it works. We've called fire departments before and talked to the local guys. Talk to the locals. They're huge.
They're super nice.
They always help out. We've stayed in locals' cabins before, and they cooked
and they
dinner.
Will shake their head a lot. You guys came from Michigan to do what? know it, buddy. We're here.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, everybody, hope you guys enjoyed the second episode, and you know, as always, thanks for listening.
See ya.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.